Today we're going to talk about change. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to talk about starting all over again. And we're going to read from the book of Exodus. Exodus, the second chapter, and a man named Moses. And I'm going to start at the 11th verse, where it reads, "And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brother and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way, and he looked that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intending thou to kill me as thou killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by the well." May the Lord bless this word. And let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your powerful word. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, on this last day of the year to meet again, together again, to praise your holy name, Father. Yes. Father, I ask that you be with me right now as I attempt to share a word, Lord. And I pray that it has an impact on us as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 As you look at the back of your program, the topic is reboot, the desire. And I'm going to change that title right now. Right. Not desire, but the need to begin again. You see, some of us don't have the desire to change, but we have the need. And as we look at this and this title, reboot, this word reboot has not been in our vocabulary for very many years. Back in the days, we might say have said reset. But reboot is a terminology that came along with electronic computers and other machines. You see, reboot means to start all over again. Reboot means to take something that wasn't working quite right and retool it and make it something better. Reboot means to make a change in order to establish a new beginning. Reboot. Every now and then, we need to reboot. You see, on my computer, there are things that I can do when it's not acting the way I think it should act. But one of the main things I can do is simply reboot. On our phones, which are many computers, sometimes it gets so messed up and so slowed down that all we can do is reboot. Now, when you notice when you reboot something, it does not change the settings you had before. It simply makes it better, makes it more efficient, and makes it able to do the task you want it to do. You see, God had to have a reboot with Moses. Amen? Moses needed to change. And I dare say that as we face the new year, I know some do resolutions of things he'd like to do differently next year than they did in 2017. But it's been my experience, I don't think I'm unusual, that when you make resolutions, just speaking them or writing them down does not automatically make them happen. And quite often when you make that resolution, and studies will show that a large majority of the people, they forget about those resolutions come February. That's why you see all the commercials now for gym memberships. Because we have great intention. We're going to do something different next year. I'm going to join a gym. They stay open 24 hours a day. So I have no excuse. We might start off going 3 or 4 days a week. But by the time February comes, suddenly it's too cold to get outside and get in the car in the morning. Suddenly we got other things we want to do. And the thing we had promised ourselves to do, we are no longer doing it. You see, to really reboot something, you have to have some intention about it. And you have to make it a priority. Now let's talk about this man Moses. We know the story of Moses. The children of Israel were enslaved by the Egyptians. And they grew to a large amount of people. Pharaoh said, there are too many of these folks in our country now. So here's what I want to do. We need to kill all the male children. Moses was born to a Hebrew woman, a male child. By law, he was supposed to have been killed. But his mother said, no, that's not going to happen to my child. So she hid him away as long as she could. And then when she couldn't hide him any longer, she put him in a basket and put him in the river, hoping somebody would find him to take care of him. And it just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter saw him and fell in love with him and said, I will make this my son. So Moses, a Hebrew boy, grew up in an Egyptian household, grew up in the house of Pharaoh, who was the leader of the Egyptians, became Pharaoh's son, became part of Pharaoh's legacy, Pharaoh's grandson and his legacy. He had a bright future in front of him. But you know what? During his formative years, he was taken care of by his own mother, a Hebrew woman. And there were some seeds that had been planted in Moses that conflicted with Pharaoh's plan for him. So as we look at this passage today that we're talking about, we see Moses is now an adult man. Now Acts chapter 7 tells us that he was 40 years old when this happened. So he was not a young adult. Amen? When he was grown in verse 11, he went out to his brethren to look at their burdens. He went out to the Hebrew people, even though he was in Pharaoh's household, even though he was adopted by an Egyptian, he still had a burden for his people. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He hid him in the sand. And the next day he saw two more Hebrews fighting. And he tried to stop them. And one of the ones fighting said, what are you going to do about it? You going to kill me too? So Moses knew that the word had gotten around. And as that 15th verse said, when Pharaoh heard this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of the Midian. And he sat down by a well. I want to share some things about Moses. Because every now and then we find ourselves sitting beside the well. We find ourselves wondering what just happened with our life. We find ourselves wondering, what am I supposed to do? I was groomed and I was ready to do one thing, but now here I am at crossroads. Now I'm here I am in a different land. I don't have my support system anymore. The thing about it is Moses went into exile for a 40-year period. But you know, this exile was caused by his own reaction. It was his reaction that caused him to have to leave town. He didn't have to kill the Egyptian, but he did out of rage. Every now and then we find ourselves in trouble because of our own reaction. Maybe not said the thing we should have said or done the thing we should have done, but because of our own mouth, because of our own hands, we find ourselves having to exile ourselves. We find ourselves in trouble and we sit beside the well wondering, what should I do? Is there any wonder that today we call wells wishing wells, where we can sit down and throw a coin in it and wish for things to get better? But not only was his exile caused by him, but it was caused by others. Check it out. Before Moses even killed the Egyptian, what did the word say? He looked around. He said, let me see now. He looked around this direction. Nobody was there. He looked that direction. Nobody was there. He looked every direction. Nobody was there. Moses was not stupid. He was in his right mind. He looked around, but yet someone found out. Because on the next day, two Hebrews were fighting. And when Moses just chastised them, and then they pointed out what he had done. You see, I believe that Hebrew fella he saved went around and told folks, Moses saved me. Moses thought he had the perfect cover up. And if you look at enough Dateline TV and ID Discovery and shows like that, you will see that there is no perfect way to cover up something that you have done. So he had to leave town. And he found himself at the well. And he did a good deed at the well. You see, some women came to get water, but the men kept chasing them away. So Moses stopped the men and allowed them to get water. And because of that deed, the women went home and said, there's a great guy out there beside the well. The next thing you know, Moses is accepted into this family. He marries one of the daughters, Zipporah. He has an outstanding father-in-law, Jacob. And he is content to just work for his father-in-law. He is content with just working in the family's business. He said, forget Pharaoh and his plans for me. I'm happy to tend to the sheep. I'm happy to tend to what my father-in-law has for me. You know, that's a lesson for us, because sometimes what we're happy with is not what God has planned for us. We can be satisfied with certain things. But if God does not have the plan for us, things have a way of working out for our good. Now, Moses was 40 years old when he left Egypt. We look at documentation, we see that he stayed in Midian for 40 years. So that makes him what? 80. I'm glad we can add 40 plus 40 equals 80. He was 80 when he changed. He was 80 when God confronted him with the need to change. He was 80 when he found out his ultimate purpose in life. This tells me you're never too old to change. You're never too old to try something new. To make a long story short, to skip over what is happening in chapter 3, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, earlier it tells us in the last few verses of chapter 2, it tells us that God hears the groaning of his people in Egypt. He hears their misery of the people in Egypt under captivity, under the thumb of Pharaoh. He hears what they are going through. And then we fast forward to him meeting Moses on this mountain. Look at verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Yeah, yeah. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burnt. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. My brothers and sisters, no matter how bad it's been, God knows our sorrows. He knows our sorrows. So in verse 8 of chapter 3, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. All the ites are in the land that God is going to give to Moses. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Think about it. 40 years. You've been hanging out in your own witness protection program. 40 years. You've been working for your father-in-law 40 years. You've been tending to sheep and doing the things that need to be done around the farm. 40 years. You have a great wife named Zipporah and children. 40 years you've built a new life for yourself. And God says, I want you to go back home. I want you to be my instrument to make Pharaoh let my people go. 40 years later, I got to imagine that Moses was still on 10 most wanted list of Egypt. 40 years later, I got to imagine some faded out posters of wanted posters were in the post office. 40 years later, he was still being looked for by the Egyptian government. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. But the thing about it is, what makes this change happen is that it was initiated by God. Amen? That's one reason we can't keep those resolutions. Because they're not initiated by God. Because we don't pray about them. Lord, what can I do better this year? Lord, how can I make myself healthier this year? Lord, what can I do? 4 decades in the desert, Moses was not looking for God, but God found Moses. We might not be looking for God to deliver us in a certain way, but God has a way of finding us. Now, what's interesting, the whole point of this message today is the call, but also the response of Moses to the call. And I think there's a response that each and every one of us can relate to either now or have related to in some time in our lives. The first response from Moses, I'm a nobody. Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Have you ever felt like telling God, I'm nobody? I'm not going to do this.
Right.
I am not the right person. I think you have mistaken me for somebody else. I am a nobody. But in verse 12, God responds.
Yes, he does.
He says, first of all, I will certainly be with you. All right, that makes it a little bit easier. I'm not going to do this by myself. I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. All right, God, I know you said that, but still, why me? Why me? Lord, you're all-knowing, God, so you know my history. You know what I've done. You know how long I've been here. Why me? Have you ever felt like telling God, I'm a nobody, I can't do that? I don't know how to start. But I want to share with you that if God sends you somewhere, he will certainly be with you during the process. The second thing Moses said, because he wasn't going to let God off that easy. He said, I don't know enough. Look at verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? So Moses is saying, listen, I don't know enough to do the job. When I go to Pharaoh, what am I going to say? When I go to my people, what am I going to say to them that they will even entertain the thoughts of following me? He says, God, I don't even really know your name. And God said to Moses in verse 14, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you.
Amen.
Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. It's okay to have questions. But over time, God will supply the answers for us. He will supply the answers for us. Then we go on about the call. And we skip over to chapter 4. And Moses said in the first verse, they won't believe me. Lord, I might have been called to the ministry, but they won't believe me when I tell them. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. And the Lord gave him two signs to show people who did not believe him. One was with a rod, or the rod he had in his hand, that when he cast it on the ground, it would turn into a serpent, or it would turn into a snake. And when he picked it back up, it'd be a rod again. And he said, that's not enough for them. I got another one. Put your hand inside your coat. And when he brought it out, it was white with leprosy. Now put it back in again. Brought it back out. It was healed. God said, go run and tell them that. Show them that. Moses still had questions. In the 10th verse of Exodus 4, he said, I'm not a good speaker. Look at verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before me since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. We do not have to be winners of oratorical contests to serve the Lord. Amen. I am not a good speaker. I am not ready for a new beginning because it might require me to do something that I'm not good at doing. Again, God had an answer. Verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Yeah. I guess, you know, hey, Moses, listen, I've been entertaining you all this time, and every question you ask, I got an answer for you. And he says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is also coming out to meet you. I guess you've been gone a little bit too long. 40 years is a long time. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be a spokesman unto the people. God had a response for everything that Moses could think of to not do what the Lord was calling him to do. I'll help you speak. I got somebody who speaks a whole lot better than you do. And by the way, he's your brother. Now, looking at this, Moses was hesitant to start something new because he had his own barriers. You know, at times we can put up our own barriers on our limitations. We can put up our own limitations when God is telling us that we can do more, but we limit ourselves. Every barrier that is put forth can be dissolved if God is in the mix. You think you're too old to do something different? Look at Moses. You think that the fear of the unknown can keep you from doing something new? Again, look at Moses. All of his excuses reflected uncertainty about the future. Here I am living a cush life. Here I am living a good life. And you want me to get back in the midst of the battle. All of these things can happen to each and every one of us. But to move forward, there's two things Moses had to do. Number one, Moses had to put the past behind him. Things that bound us in the past must be released before we can move forward into God's future. Have you experienced broken dreams, broken relationships, broken promises that left you at the well of Midian? It's time to move on. And something else that seems obvious, beginning requires beginning.
Amen. Amen.
After it's all said and done, you have to act. I reflect back on when it was time to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And the children of Israel were led by Joshua, and they were at the brink of the Jordan River. Yeah. And it was at that time of year where it was a lot of rain and the river overflowed. How in the world are we going to cross this river into the Promised Land? Are we letting rivers become obstacles to our promise? The priests held the Ark of the Covenant and they led the processional. And see, in Sunday school, in the Bible says we learn that the Jordan River dried up and that they went across on dry ground, every one of them.
Yes.
But what we look over sometimes, when we read that text carefully, it tells us that the river did not dry out until the priest stepped into the river. Beginning requires us to begin. So I've kind of denoted that they could have stood on the banks waiting for it to dry up, and it would not have dried up. But once they stepped out on faith, it dried up. Only you and God knows what you've been through in the past. But I got some good news. He will help us overcome any barrier that stands in the way of a new beginning.
Yes.
A new year is an opportunity to have a new beginning filled with amazing potential. But many are like Moses sitting beside the well. They are content with sitting there. And I understand, because the well represents rest. The well represents restoration. However, the well is also a place where we watch others work while we rest.
Yes.
We might be resting because we think we are nobody. We might be resting because we think we don't know enough to be active in ministry. We might be resting because we think nobody wants our contributions. We might be resting because we feel like we cannot articulate the vision, that we don't have the eloquency of speech required. But it's time to get up from the rest state and get in to the game. I am constantly reminded of the story my son told me long ago when he was playing high school soccer. And one boy who had been a bench warmer all year long. Y'all know what bench warmers are?
Yes.
Those ones don't get in the game.
That's right.
They sit on the bench the whole time. And this one game, the coach called the bench warmer to come in. The bench warmer couldn't go in because he had been sitting on the bench so long, he forgot most of his equipment. He did not have his shin guards in his socks, and he didn't have other stuff that you need to be in the game to play properly. I don't care how many times or how long we've been sitting at the well, we still need to be prepared when God calls us.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
If 2017 has been a time of rest, let 2018 be the perfect opportunity to get back in the game and be a part of God's team. Let's make 2018 a new chapter in our life. Even if you've had the most outstanding year in the year 2017, from my work experience of continuous improvement, you always knew that there was something you could do better. There was something you could do more of. There was more times that you had that you could have spoken up. There were more opportunities to help somebody else. There were opportunities to bless somebody else. There were more opportunities to serve the Lord. So allow God to produce a new beginning through His power, through His grace, through His love. Let's work for the Lord. It's an opportunity to reboot. Something else that happens when you reboot. Some of the junk that was in there that didn't need to be in there does not come back. That just appears. Get rid of the junk and move on for Christ. It's time for a reboot. Moses, 80 years old, God called him, "I need you to be the instrument to set my people free." We all know the rest of the story. Moses went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't believe him, but God hardened Pharaoh's heart enough, sent enough plagues by, that finally Pharaoh said, "Get out of town and take your people with you." We serve a God who can make people's hearts want to just get rid of you. And don't you know that those are the same people you don't need to be around in the first place? And if He sends you on your way, He can open red seas in your life. He can sustain you during the desert times of your life. He can provide nourishment and water and safety and comfort. That's the God that we serve. Moses had a need to start all over again. Moses had a need to be rebooted. God had to reboot him like 4 or 5 times before he got on point. That's the other thing about rebooting. Sometimes we have to do it over and over again. But if we listen to God, God will prevail. And if we do it God's way, He will help us to keep those resolutions that we desire. He will help us to stay on the right path. He will help us to speak up when we need to. He will help us to volunteer and help where we need to. He will help us and He will be with us. Moses is our example. It's time to move into a new year. God bless you. God bless you.